Hello and welcome to this program in the footsteps of St. Peter. In this program, we listen to and reflect on the teaching of the successors of St. Peter, the popes, throughout the centuries. Hello, my name is Father Boniface. I'm a Benedictine priest and monk of St. Vincent Archabbey in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. Delighted to have this opportunity to continue reading and reflecting with you on Pope Leo XIII's encyclical on the Holy Spirit, Divinum Illud Munus, promulgated in 1897, and still containing that ancient and unchanging truth of our faith, and making explicit, making clear for us this doctrine of the Trinity, focusing especially on the Holy Spirit, which in this older translation is always referred to as the Holy Ghost. We pick up in paragraph 10 of Pope Leo XIII's encyclical, entitled On Devotion to the Holy Ghost. These sublime truths, which so clearly show forth the infinite goodness of the Holy Ghost towards us, certainly demand that we should direct towards him the highest homage of our love and devotion. Christians may do this most effectually if they will daily strive to know him, to love him, and to implore him more earnestly. For which reason may this, our exhortation, flowing spontaneously from a paternal heart, reach their ears? Perchance there are still to be found among them, even nowadays, some who, if asked, as were those of old by St. Paul the Apostle, whether they have received the Holy Ghost, might answer in like manner, "We have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost," quoting Acts 19. At least there are certainly many who are very deficient in their religious practices, but their faith is involved in much darkness. Wherefore all preachers and those having care of souls should remember that it is their duty to instruct their people more diligently and more fully about the Holy Ghost, avoiding, however, difficult and subtle controversies and eschewing the dangerous folly of those who rashly endeavor to pry into divine mysteries. What should be chiefly dwelt upon and clearly explained is the multitude and greatness of the benefits which have been bestowed and are constantly bestowed upon us by this divine giver, so that errors and ignorance concerning matters of such moment may be entirely dispelled as unworthy of the children of light. We urge this not only because it affects a mystery by which we are directly guided to eternal life, and which must therefore be firmly believed, but also because the more clearly and fully the good is known, the more earnestly it is loved. Now we owe to the Holy Ghost, as we mentioned in the second place, love, because he is God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with your whole heart, and with your whole soul, and with your whole strength, from Deuteronomy chapter 6. He is also to be loved because he is the substantial, eternal, primal love, and nothing is more lovable than love. And this all the more because he has overwhelmed us with the greatest benefits, which both testify to the benevolence of the giver and claim the gratitude of the receiver. This love has a twofold and most conspicuous utility. In the first place, it will excite us to acquire daily a clearer knowledge about the Holy Ghost, for as the angelic doctor says, the lover is not content with the superficial knowledge of the beloved, but strives to inquire intimately into all that appertains to the beloved, and thus to penetrate into the interior, as is said of the Holy Ghost, who is the love of God, that he searches even the profound things of God. It's a quote from St. Thomas's Summa Theologica. In the second place, it will obtain for us a still more abundant supply of heavenly gifts. For while a narrow heart contracts the hand of the giver, a grateful and mindful heart causes it to expand. Yet we must strive that this love should be of such a nature as to consist merely in dry speculations or external observances, but rather to run forward towards action, and especially to fly from sin, which is, in a more special manner, offensive to the Holy Spirit. For whatever we are, that we are by the divine goodness, and this goodness is specially attributed to the Holy Ghost. The sinner offends this, his benefactor, abusing his gifts, and taking advantage of his goodness, becomes more hardened in sin day by day. Again, since he is the Spirit of truth, whosoever fails by weakness or ignorance may perhaps have some excuse before Almighty God, but he who resists the truth through malice and turns away from it sins most grievously against the Holy Ghost. In our days, this sin has become so frequent that those dark times seem to have come which were foretold by St. Paul, in which men, blinded by the just judgment of God, should take falsehood for truth and should believe in the prince of this world who is a liar and the father thereof as a teacher of truth. God shall send them the operation of error to believe lying. In the last times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to spirits of error and the doctrines of devils, quoting 1 Timothy 4. But since the Holy Ghost, as we have said, dwells in us as in his temple, we must repeat the warning of the Apostle, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God whereby you are sealed." For is it enough to fly from sin? Every Christian ought to shine with a splendor of virtue so as to be pleasing to so great and so beneficent a guest. And first of all, with chastity and holiness, for chaste and holy things befit the temple. Hence the words of the Apostle, "Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? But if any man violate the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which you are," quoting 1 Corinthians 3. A terrible indeed, a just warning. We have just heard paragraph 10 of Pope Leo XIII's encyclical on the Holy Spirit, Divinum Illud Munus. Pope Leo XIII has been teaching us in the course of this encyclical who is the Holy Spirit, which we can only understand in light of the whole Trinity. And Pope Leo XIII, in giving this teaching, refers frequently to the fathers of the Church, especially St. Augustine in his treatise on the Trinity, as well as St. Thomas Aquinas in his Summa Theologica, and he also makes those references in particular to St. Thomas in this section that we have just heard, which brings us now to devotion to the Holy Ghost. We have reflected on who the Holy Spirit is, having brought forth the incarnation and being seen prominently in the life of Christ, also then having been poured out into the souls of the just and dwelling in us as a temple, as in a temple, the way that he works, the Holy Spirit works in the church as the mystical body of Christ. And now Pope Leo XIII in some way brings to a point this encyclical, encouraging us to have devotion to the Holy Ghost. It is in devotion that it opens our hearts to understand how he works in us and to be more open to his action. Pope Leo XIII recognizes that in his day, and we can certainly say the same in our own day, that a lack of teaching and a preponderance of ignorance has led some in our own day to say the same things that were said in the days of St. Paul. When he asks them if they received the Holy Spirit, they said, We have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. It's always one of my favorite lines in the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 19. We have never even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Pope Leo XIII wants to make sure that in his day, and as his teaching continues to flow through the church, we hope that in our day also, no Catholic, no Christian might say such a thing. There's need for a deeper understanding of who the Holy Spirit is. And so he exhorts, first of all, preachers and pastors of souls. It is their duty to instruct people more diligently and more fully about the Holy Spirit, avoiding, of course, difficult and subtle controversies. But we might wonder, even in our own time, is there enough instruction about the Holy Spirit? Is there a need for me as a priest and for my brother priest to hear this, for the bishops also to hear this, that there needs to be adequate, thorough instruction on the Holy Spirit, on who he is and how he lives in the lives of the faithful? Hopefully this radio broadcast itself will begin to fill in some gaps, as we have heard who the Holy Spirit is in the previous two readings of this encyclical. But we go on now to continue what benefit it gives us to reflect, to have a devotion to the Holy Spirit. Pope Leo XIII says that the multitude and greatness of the benefits which have been bestowed on us and are constantly bestowed on us by the divine giver will be received more fully if ignorance is dispelled, if we know who the Holy Spirit is and how he works. And we have referred already to the operation of the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit, or more particularly the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is manifold: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, generosity, self-control. This fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is one, as Pope Benedict referred to in his 2012 Pentecost homily, the one fruit of the Holy Spirit in these various manifestations, and yet the many works of the flesh which lead to division, the fruit of the Holy Spirit which leads to union with each other and with God. Pope Leo XIII reminds us in the worthiness of the Holy Spirit to be loved, that cultivating devotion to the Holy Spirit is simply in accord with our nature. He is lovable, and it is right for us to love him. He says this love has a twofold utility. One is simply carrying out the command of God that we shall love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and strength. But also because the Holy Spirit in particular, that person of God, is himself the love of God. And he searches the most profound things of God. And so that love brings us into the very heart of the Trinity, and that love can lead us to a deeper understanding of who God is and how he loves us. Pope Leo XIII goes on to speak about the value of a devotion to the Holy Spirit in regard to being more available to heavenly gifts. He says, love for God, devotion to the Holy Spirit will open us to a more abundant supply of heavenly gifts, while a narrow heart contracts the hand of the giver. A grateful and mindful heart causes it to expand. And so the more we make explicit our devotion to the Holy Spirit, calling on him explicitly, making the novena that he will go on to speak about at the end of this document, making the novena to the Holy Spirit in this the time between the Ascension and Pentecost. But of course, we can do it also at other times of the year. It's good to make a novena to the Holy Spirit. There are litanies to the Holy Spirit. We can call on the Holy Spirit very explicitly. But then he goes on to say, and of course, we must flee from sins that are especially offensive to the Holy Spirit who is above all a spirit of truth. And so any sins against truth, lies, or remaining in ignorance, giving in to the prince of this world, the liar and the father of lies, the devil, is especially offensive to the Holy Spirit. Whereas cultivating a deeper love for the truth, studying the truths of the faith, allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth, these things are most pleasing to the Holy Spirit, and beautiful ways of expressing our love for the Holy Spirit. If we allow Him who dwells in us, insofar as we remain in a state of grace, to be at work in us, leading us into all truth, it will be a great way to express our love for the Holy Spirit. Let us go on to finish this encyclical now of Pope Leo XIII, Divinum Illud Munus, on the Holy Spirit.
Gloria.
Continue reading from Divinum Illud Munus, Pope Leo XIII's encyclical on the Holy Spirit, promulgated in 1897, with paragraph 11, continuing in the section Devotion to the Holy Ghost. Lastly, Pope Leo XIII writes, we ought to pray to and invoke the Holy Spirit, for each one of us greatly needs His protection and His help. The more a man is deficient in wisdom, weak in strength, borne down with trouble, prone to sin, so ought he the more to fly to Him who is the never-ceasing fount of light, strength, consolation, and holiness. And chiefly that first requisite of man, the forgiveness of sins, must be sought for from Him. Quoting St. Thomas's Summa Theologica, it is the special character of the Holy Ghost that He is the giver, that he is the gift of the Father and the Son. Now the remission of all sins is given by the Holy Ghost as by the gift of God. End quote. Concerning this Spirit, the words of the liturgy are very explicit, quote, for He is the remission of all sins. End quote. That's from the Roman Missal, Tuesday after Pentecost. And that would be the old rite, the extraordinary form. How He should be invoked is clearly taught by the Church, who addresses Him in humble supplication, calling upon Him by the sweetest of names, come Father of the poor, come Giver of gifts, come Light of our hearts, O best of consolers, sweet guest of the soul, our refreshment. And that's from the Pentecost sequence, the Veni Sancte Spiritus. Pope Leo XIII continues, she, the Church, earnestly implores Him to wash, heal, water our minds and hearts, and to give to us who trust in Him the merit of virtue, the acquirement of salvation, and joy everlasting. Nor can it be in any way doubted that He will listen to such prayer, since we read the words written by His own inspiration. The Spirit Himself asks for us with unspeakable groanings, from Romans chapter 8. Lastly, we ought confidently and continually to beg of Him to illuminate us daily more and more with His light and inflame us with His charity. For thus inspired with faith and love, we may press onward earnestly towards our eternal reward, since He is the pledge of our inheritance. Such, venerable brethren, are the teachings and exhortations which we have seen good to utter in order to stimulate devotion to the Holy Ghost. We have no doubt that chiefly by means of your zeal and earnestness, they will bear abundant fruit among Christian peoples. We ourselves shall never in the future fail to labor towards so important an end, and it is even our intention in whatever ways may appear suitable to further cultivate and extend this admirable work of piety. Meanwhile, as 2 years ago in our letter Pro Vita Matris, we recommended to Catholics special prayers at the Feast of Pentecost for the reunion of Christendom, so now we desire to make certain further decrees on the same subject. Now we begin paragraph 13, entitled An Annual Novena Decreed. Wherefore we decree and command that throughout the whole Catholic Church this year and in every subsequent year, a novena shall take place from Pentecost Sunday in all our parish churches, and if the local ordinaries think fit in other churches and oratories, To all who take part in this novena and duly pray for our intention, we grant for each day an indulgence of 7 years and 7 quarantines. Moreover, a plenary indulgence on any one of the days of the novena or on Pentecost Sunday itself, or on any day during the octave, provided they shall have received the sacraments of penance and the Holy Eucharist, and devoutly prayed for our intention. We will that those who are legitimately prevented from attending the novena, or who are in places where the devotions cannot, in the judgment of the ordinary, be conveniently carried out in church, shall equally enjoy the same benefits, provided they make the novena privately and observe the other conditions. Moreover, we are pleased to grant in perpetuity from the treasury of the Church that whosoever daily during the octave of Pentecost, up to Trinity Sunday inclusive, offer again publicly or privately any prayers according to their devotion to the Holy Ghost, and satisfy the above conditions, shall a second time gain each of the same indulgences. All these indulgences we also permit to be applied to the suffrage of the souls in purgatory. And now our mind and heart turn back to those hopes with which we began and for the accomplishment of which we earnestly pray and will continue to pray to the Holy Ghost. Unite, then, venerable brethren, your prayers with ours, and at your exhortation let all Christian peoples add their prayers also, invoking the powerful and ever acceptable intercession of the Blessed Virgin. You know well the intimate and wonderful relations existing between her and the Holy Ghost, so that she is justly called his spouse, and, pardon me, the intercession of the Blessed Virgin was of great avail both in the mystery of the Incarnation and in the coming of the Holy Ghost upon the apostles. May she continue to strengthen our prayers with her suffrages, that in the midst of all the stress and trouble of the nations, those divine prodigies may be happily revived by the Holy Ghost, which were foretold in the words of David, "Send forth thy spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth." As a pledge of divine favor and a testimony of our affection, venerable brethren, to you, to your clergy and people, we gladly impart in the Lord the apostolic blessing, given at St. Peter's in Rome on the 9th day of May, 1897, in the 20th year of our pontificate. Signed, Pope Leo XIII. Have just heard the conclusion of Pope Leo XIII's encyclical Divinum Illud Munus on the Holy Spirit. We first finished the section entitled Devotion to the Holy Ghost, and Pope Leo XIII concluded that section speaking of the special importance of the Holy Spirit in the forgiveness of sins, something greatly needed in his time, in our time, and throughout all time, that we might fly to the Holy Spirit, who is the never-ceasing fount of light, strength, consolation, and holiness, and chiefly that first requisite of man, the forgiveness of sins, should be sought from him. That first requisite of man, he says, in regard to the forgiveness of sins, grudges and bitterness, negativity, cause such division, hatred, violence, war, so many of the ills throughout all of the history of man, the forgiveness of sins, that great gift of Jesus in the upper room when he encounters the apostles, breathes on them and extends to them his spirit, receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. We see the connection, the powerful connection between the Holy Spirit and the forgiveness of sins, something so desperately needed by each one of us, and something we can have frequent recourse to in the sacrament of confession, the forgiveness of sins, having our own forgiven and also learning forgiveness for others, is a primary work of the Holy Spirit as the gift of God to us. Pope Leo XIII quotes from the liturgy, quotes from the doctors of the church, and quotes from sacred scripture in speaking of the forgiveness of sins, the Summa Theologica, the Roman Missal, and also the sequence for Pentecost, the Veni Sancte Spiritus, seeing the sweetness, the beauty, the tenderness of the Holy Spirit, and the goodness that he pours out on us. Father of the poor, giver of gifts, light of our hearts, best of consolers, the merit of virtue, acquirement of salvation, joy everlasting. So many beautiful things. And then finally, Pope Leo XIII instituted an annual novena that still is in effect, building up to Pentecost from Ascension Thursday or the day after Ascension to the day before Pentecost, a novena of days. And then also in the octave of Pentecost, which is no longer observed liturgically, but during which time, the 8 days after Pentecost, we can still continue praying to the Holy Spirit for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so that also applies to these days after Pentecost. We conclude now giving glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.